She served as a member of the National Reproductive Justice Network and has presented at numerous harm reduction and reproductive justice conferences and was a contributor to Spread magazine. And it's her first time at APHA, so let's make sure she comes back. And the topic is addressing violence against sex workers in the context of HIV, what works, a global sex worker consultation with the World Health Organization.
Can you just...
Hi, everyone. Thanks for having me here. Sorry for the long bio. When you don't have any letters after your name, you get to list all your activist credentials. So my name is Stephanie Ashley, and I am going to be talking about the St. James Infirmary, which is a clinic located here in San Francisco that serves current and former sex workers and their families. And specifically, I'm going to be talking about our first ever public media campaign, which we did last year, and the subsequent consultation we did with the World Health Organization. I have no relationships to disclose. So briefly, a little bit about St. James. We are a comprehensive, full-spectrum medical clinic. We do primary medical care, counseling, mental health services, holistic services, so acupuncture and massage, as well as harm reduction services like needle exchange and street and venue-based outreach. We opened in 1999. In that time, we've served over 3,000 current and former sex workers, and we also provide services to their current primary partners and their adolescent children. What's unique about us is we're a peer-based clinic, so the majority of our staff and volunteers of our service providers are community members who also receive their care through St. James. So we're very much community-oriented and really believe in peer-based, harm reduction-centered approaches to healthcare. So when we first, in the first 5 years that we were open, we surveyed 783 of our participants, and some noteworthy statistics about our community's experience of violence was more than half of our participants reported domestic violence, about 36% of them reported a history of sex work-related violence, arrest history, so history of criminalization, was directly associated with a higher incidence of violence. Male-to-female transgender sex workers had the highest reported rate of work-related violence as well as violent interactions with the police. And based on sort of the type of work which had the highest prevalence of violence, those who were doing street-based sex work had the highest rates of violence, with about 62% of people reporting violence. People who were trading sex for things besides money, so food, shelter, drugs, had the second highest at 57%. Massage parlor workers had a 48% rate of violence in their industry, followed by strippers and dancers at 43%. One thing that's worth noting is we found that workers who were able to work collectively, who were able to be around other workers, had not only much lower rates of violence, but also just generally more positive health outcomes, lower rates of STIs and HIV as well. So our very first media campaign is called Someone You Know is a Sex Worker. We did it with the help of one of our longtime volunteers, Rachel Schreiber, who's also a professor and an artist. And she had been working with us for several years, had a really good relationship with the community. And so we recruited through the clinic 27 people who were current and former sex workers or people involved in survival sex, their partners and service providers at St. James. Those people, as you can see, I was one of them. We did pretty thorough interviews and sat for portraits. Once we had kind of the collection of all the images and quotes that we wanted to use, we had a group of 25 sex workers weigh in and really participate in everything from which images would be used, which quotes, and you know, how the design should look. So it was a very community-based process. And then we also had 8 academics not involved in the sex industry to tell us, you know, how they thought the general public would receive the posters. What came out of this process was this poster, which is about 12 feet long. It's very large. And we ran it on the side of San Francisco Muni buses for about a month. We ran it on the side of 30 buses that with different routes all over the city. Not one of them got graffitied, miraculously. I didn't end up with a mustache or anything. And we also ended up with a set of agency posters, which we distributed to healthcare providers and social service providers and asked them to put them up visibly, you know, in their waiting rooms or in their offices to just kind of remind providers that, you know, some sort of cultural competency messages about sex workers who they might encounter, and also, you know, so that their patients can see that there's kind of a welcoming environment towards sex workers. And can everyone read this poster, or should I read it out loud? Okay. There we are on the side of the bus going down Market Street. So the goals of this campaign were pretty broad, but one of the goals was we wanted to show that sex workers are everyday people and valuable members of the community. So we wanted to kind of combat a lot of the, you know, Hollywood or stereotypical images of people in the sex industry by putting just real people's faces out there. We wanted to show that sex workers are equal members of society and that our rights should be viewed as human rights. That's to convey the message that sex work is work and that we should have access to labor rights. And of course, to raise awareness of the St. James Infirmary. So these are a couple of our posters. One of them says, sex workers go to work, come home, take care of their children, just like everybody else does. Someone you know is a sex worker. And another one, sex workers are mothers, school teachers, and social activists. Someone you know is a sex worker. So we had originally intended to make these billboards around the city. And we approached CBS Outdoor, Clear Channel, and the San Francisco Arts Commission to get billboard space, and we were rejected by all of them. CBS Outdoor stated kind of the reason most clearly in a letter to us when they said sex worker is not a family-friendly term. And they specifically challenged us on that phrase, and they wanted us to kind of come up with a more vague, ambiguous phrase, which would have kind of defeated the whole point of the campaign, so we didn't. What was positive out of this, though, was that the rejection created a little bit of a story, and we ended up getting a fair amount of media coverage about the campaign, and kind of it ended up increasing the visibility of the project. So here is Naomi Akers, our executive director, saying, farm work can be difficult, but we don't outlaw agriculture. We regulate it to improve conditions for those who work in that industry. Sex work is real work. So jumping ahead, this project, this media project, got us an invitation to go to Montreux, Switzerland, and do a consultation with the World Health Organization. So a little background about this consultation. The World Health Organization had been paying attention to a couple of different issues, one that sex workers globally are at a great disparity in terms of their rates of HIV, and that violence against sex workers is a massively global problem. So they wanted to look at whether there was a relationship between that violence and higher incidence of HIV in sex worker communities. So they conducted a systematic review and produced a paper out of it. But there were a lot of problems with the systematic review. While it did find that there were direct correlations, it implied that there were direct correlations between violence and HIV incidence, the criteria that the WHO needs to include something in a systematic review is very epidemiological, and it's very difficult when dealing with something like violence. Of close to 2,000 initial citations, which could have been looked at for the systematic review, they ended up with 23 papers that were actually able to be evaluated because of how rigorous their criteria is. So seeing that there was much to be desired left over after this systematic review, the Global Network of Sex Worker Projects really pressured the WHO to invite community stakeholders from around the world who were working with sex worker communities and who were sex workers themselves to come and talk about this and to use this consultation as a vehicle to create a set of recommendations which could then be reviewed and scrutinized by scientists and researchers. And another issue with the systematic review is that while they did find a fair amount of good research that had been done by sex worker communities themselves, most of those had not reached the level of being published in peer-reviewed journals and so therefore couldn't be considered. So the Global Network of Sex Worker Projects, the WHO, the United Nations Populations Fund, it's in my notes, and the United Nations Development Program hosted this consultation. Thank you. Preventing and Addressing Violence Against Sex Workers in the Context of HIV. The consultation included about 30 different representatives from sex worker communities globally. I went representing St. James. We were the only representative from the U.S. there. They were really looking at different interventions to violence in HIV prevention work that were happening, and they wanted to see the myriad of approaches that the communities were taking. So they found that stigma, discrimination, and criminalization of sex work is a key factor in the high rates of HIV in sex worker populations. So one of the things that was discussed a lot was that criminalization itself is responsible for a huge spectrum of negative health impacts, which I'll talk about a little more in a second. So moving on to the best practices, the media presentation, the idea of media campaigns was something that the WHO was very interested in because they really recognize that stigma has a very direct correlation to violence against communities, and that any kind of destigmatizing work that can be done should be invested in, and it's also, you know, an easy intervention. So the recommendations that we came up with were very lengthy and multiple pages long, but here's the shortest summary I can give you. The first recommendation was basically that we needed to reform any and all laws globally that repress or criminalize commercial sex. One of the largest points of violence against sex workers came from police and state military. So criminalization plays out in a lot of different ways. In the U.S., we see it in ways like condoms being criminalized. You know, if you carry too many condoms, that can be used to convict someone of prostitution, which obviously has a negative impact on HIV prevention strategies. And also, when people are criminalized, they lose access to institutions such as the police, which could help people avoid violence. Thank you. Recommendation number two was that healthcare providers should not be participating in any state or non-state raids, police repression, mandatory testing, or forced treatment of sex workers, which is something that we see here in the U.S. When people are arrested oftentimes for prostitution, oftentimes they're ordered to get a court-mandated HIV test. This type of stuff we found really, really tarnishes the relationship that the sex worker community has with healthcare providers and with their own health decisions. That government should support sex worker communities leading trainings and sensitization work among healthcare and social service providers, among police, and among media, and that sex worker organizations should be at sort of the front of all of those trainings. And lastly, that sex worker collectivization should be supported, and the implementation of sex worker-led human rights programs legal services, and responses to violence. So basically, that community is the big takeaway here. And here is, for your viewing pleasure, just some of the other agency posters that we came up with. And that's all.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Also. And we have postcards if any of you want some there.
Any questions?
Some of the people are sex workers, current or former sex workers. Some are family members of sex workers. So like you can see this one just says sex workers have husbands. This is a husband of a sex worker. And some are healthcare providers of sex workers. And so on our big bus ad, we felt it was important to not identify who was which or what. It created a little bit of anonymity for the people who were sex workers, and also was a really nice gesture from the people who were not, like the doctors that are in this photo, to be willing to sort of have it implied publicly that they could be sex workers. So it's a mixture. Yeah.
Excuse me, can we take the discussion because we should move? There's going to be another talk.
Yeah, I'll talk to you about that offline.
Why don't we take the discussion in the back? Okay. Thank you very
much.
Thanks, everybody.